The 514th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. Five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi Ho, Degenerinos, welcome to episode 514 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to Richard Lewis, RIP Richard Lewis from Curb Your Enthusiasm and other great shows and comedy. Thank you for coming to the show. We shall supply some comedy, hopefully. Not with our picks, maybe with our banter. We do have a pretty funny fight card coming up this week, and we're going to be covering UFC Fight Night, Rozenstruik versus Gaziev. I'm one half of the duo breaking it down, Jeff Chalks Fox. And boys, it's a chalky card. We'll see if I get talked into some underdogs or not. I know my co-host is in on at least a couple of dogs, probably more, because he is he's wild like that. He would be not the lock dog. We'll talk about the lock dog soon enough, but he would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I'm not sure I'm on much more than two or three of them. I'm going to say there are two picks. I don't know if they're even on this episode. They might be on next. This is a hard card to know where fights are because all of them feel like prelims. Yeah. Not that you can't win money on prelims, but all of them feel like prelims. And there's a couple of fights on this card where I might flip-flop by the time the fight happens. It's one of those, especially because this fight card is, the odds lines are so wide on it, right? Like there is, I think there's like two fights with odds that I would deem close, and it's the first and the last fight of the night. Right. And that's it. Everything else is like big, fat, chalky lines. So, you know, I think it's hard to find value in those, but there are a couple of fights where I'm like, I do lean towards the person who's like a negative 400 or negative 500 favorite. And there's just enough juice in that fight where I think a little bit about the underdog. So there's been two fights where I've been flipping and flopping on that. We'll have to see where I'm at by the time we get to talking about it.
Big fat chalky lines. That's our title. And it reminds me of someone we were talking about off the air as well. So we won't mention that person though. But
I thought you were going to say that's your new nickname. Big
it could fat, be big lines. Fat chalky lines. The problem, not only are these lines big, fat and chalky, they've gotten worse since
wider.
Yeah, they got wider since the past 2 days, I think. I think it was Monday.
People have to be putting in just like a parlay with all these super favorites.
Maybe.
And I'll spend a lot of the time over the next couple of episodes talking about why certain ones of them are definitely parlay busters. Because there's a few of them in here that are definitely parlay busters.
Yeah, I think one line out of how many fights we got? 11 fights? I think one line went in my way. One favorite went in my way, and it's still like minus 800. So it's not really that good.
That's not good.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, first of all, it's a better fight card than we originally gave it credit for. It's as we discovered when we were previewing it, on the last episode, it's, you know, or two episodes ago, it's a bit better than we anticipated, but yeah, it's still, a lot of squash matches if we trust the bookmakers, and usually they are right. As for thinking though, we're gonna have to have a bunch of dogs are gonna go through, or a bunch of favorites gonna come through to get the odds or to get the average back to where it is, we are right at 67% this year for favorites coming through, which is the lifetime average or since I started tracking 4 years ago. So we don't be counting on a whole bunch of dogs or a whole bunch of favorites, you know, just treat this like a normal fight card. I guess I never really make picks that way anyhow. I'm not one of those, it's these guys,
To the mean.
Yes, regress to the mean. These guys owe us rounds, that type of thinking.
not the owe us rounds types.
Big fat chalky lines. All right, let's just jump into it, shall we?
Yeah,
shall we? Do we have any news? I don't think anything exciting has happened.
Let's get to talking about this banger of a prelim. Actually, the first fight is the best fight on the night, so let's talk about that.
All right. we are going to talk about UFC Fight Night Rozenstruik versus Gaziev. It is coming down, going down this Saturday, March the 2nd, 1:30 p.m. Eastern are the prelims. 4 p.m. Eastern is the main card. So that's positive, right?
Yeah, I love it over with. I love an early fight card.
Yeah. It's not on TV in Canada, so that's how bad it is. Some of these cards don't show here. So I'll have to stream it. But for the rest of you people, or at least you people in the United States of America, is on ESPN Plus. Just today, we would be just doing the prelims. We got what? How many prelims? Six. One, two, three, four, five, six prelims. This Ricky Turcios fight, which was this weekend instead of last, is not happening. A couple other fights have fallen out, but we've got replacements for most of them. Julia Pollastri was supposed to fight one of our favorites, Josephine Knutson. That one did fall out. Knutson withdrew. And I think, has she been rebooked, or Pollastri's been rebooked? I think something's happened.
Yeah, I think there were two fighters on like consecutive weekends. I can't remember who Pollastri is now fighting, but whoever she was supposed to fight was supposed to fight the weekend after, the weekend after that. Yeah. And both their opponents dropped off, and now they squared them both up, I believe, on that Atlantic City card, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay. And what happened to our girl, Josephine?
I haven't heard anything on that front. You know, I saw some training video of her right before she pulled out, but I didn't see anything after that. So I'm guessing probably training injury is the easiest way to guess. Yeah. It was sort of early enough that, you know, it wasn't a visa issue, and there's not usually visa issues from Sweden all that often anyway. So that's not one of the countries we give issues to. So I'm assuming it's that.
Pollastri will be fighting Stephanie Luciano on March 23rd as Gumby. He didn't have the name, but he had the situation correct. Mohamed Yahya, Brendan Marati were supposed to fight. That bout fell off. But the other fights that have fallen off, the fighters have gotten replacement fighters, so at least one half of them will be fighting. All right. Brings us to our opener, which this fight was scheduled all along. It's a lightweight fight. Gumby says it's the best fight on the fight card. We'll see. Loic Razhabov, the Tajik tank from Tajikistan, versus Abdul Karim Al-Sawaldi, the pride of Palestine from, you guessed it, Palestine. And a very good guest on Gumby's podcast this past week, the Top Turtle MMA podcast. He was on before, right?
Yeah, I had him on right before he fought George Hardwick. And actually, I believe after he fought George Hardwick too, like right after it, because I needed a guest from right after that. So yeah, I've had him on a couple of times. Great cool. Guest.
And that is the opener, right? Because like I said, you said off top, the belt order is all over the place.
Yep, that seems to be the opener.
All right, yeah, because Tapology, the UFC.com, Wikipedia, they all were having different stuff, but we're going to go with that one first. Doesn't make a difference, really, to you people. You're going to watch all of them anyhow. All right, we're going to tell you about Razhabov first, the Tajik tank, 17-5-1, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once, so he's very durable, so he owes us some finishes, or getting finished, I guess. 1-1 in the UFC, got knocked out in his last fight. There you go, that's what we're talking about. Finishes. Missed weight in that fight as well. He went 4-4-1 in PFL. How's this for bad luck? 2019 and 2021, the finalist. He was so close to $1 million, did not get it. Now he's making probably 14,000 to show, 14,000 to show in the UFC. So he has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcasts.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 inches taller than El Sawaldi. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 2.7 strikes per minute. That'll get you knocked out or at least beat. Better grappling stats than El Sawaldi based off of Sawaldi's one fight, and he's at +150. The pride of Palestine, El Sawaldi, who wants to have a big barbecue after he wins, right?
His barbecue skills are incredible. He's like one of those competitive barbecue people.
Oh, yeah? I think you talked about that last time he was on, yeah.
Yeah, he like competes in barbecue stuff after and in between fights, nice. Which like, I mean, I guess at least that's like a lean way of like splurging. Yeah. I'm talking to a PFL fighter who talks about how he wants his burgers all the time. So
not as
it's not as good.
Yep. Well, there you go. Hopefully, if you're friends with him, he'll invite you to the barbecue after he wins, if he wins here. He's 15-3, Mr. L. So Wadi, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, so he's been finished by knockout in all his losses. This is his UFC debut, 1-0 on Contender Series. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since November 2019. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. A couple more of those coming up. Used to fight down at featherweight, so we got a former featherweight versus a former welterweight here. 2012 Pro MMA debut for him as well, so these are a couple veterans. 2-0 as a pro grappler, 5 years younger than Razhabov. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, but that's based off of one fight that he's had that we have stats for. He outstruck his contender series opponent, George Hardwick, by 1 strike per minute, minus 166. Gumby, I am a gracious host, so I let you go first.
I'm going to go with Abdulkarim El-Zawadi. First of all, if we're talking about the striking aspect of this fight, being able to stay away from the big shots of George Hardwick is enough for me to pencil you in as being a pretty damn good striker, if we're being
honest. That's an improvement for him, too, because he used to get hit a lot in his older fights. I did film tape.
Yeah. Are you looking at the Brave fights when he was fighting?
Yes.
Brave?
Yeah.
And so after he fought for Brave, he fought for, was it LFA or Fury? It was one of those Southern regional promotions. But he looked cleaned up after that, right? Like looked like he fixed a lot of things in between there and Brave. But the thing about him is like, he's really strong on the takedown defense because he is, he's like a little muscle, that's the thing.
He's a little guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's 155 pounds, but he's a short guy, and he's really physically strong. And I think Razhabov, I think we saw what happens to him on the feet when he can't score his own takedowns, right? He fought Matthews at Rembeki, or Rabisti, or however the hell we're supposed to say that.
Yeah, Rabisti sounds better, yeah.
And Rabisti, first of all, great wrestler, just stuffed anything he came his way and was a better striker than him. And the thing is, if Abdulkarim El-Zawadi can pick apart George Hardwick, and that's what he did. He picked apart George Hardwick, put a pace on him he couldn't keep up with. I don't think Loic Razhabov could do any better on the feet. Razhabov's only path to victory for me here is to take him down and take him down repeatedly. And even if he takes him down, I don't think he can keep him down. So, yeah, I think Sawadi rolls here. I like the line a little bit better when it was closer to a pick 'em, because this is one that's kind of gone in the wrong direction for us. But I think El-Zawadi outpoints him on the feet here pretty easily.
Yep, I like him as well. I was concerned about, like I said, about him getting hit a lot, but he has improved that, it seems. He has, obviously, he's pretty relentless with takedowns, and Razhabov seems not with the takedowns, sorry, with the stopping the takedowns. Razhabov seems to get tired in fights as well, which could be an issue. So El-Zawadi is the pick here. You know what else is the pick? Underdog Fantasy, of course, is the pick. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game, tonight's game, any game. And you can win big. How big? You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. I'm always on, Gumby and I are always on Underdog Fantasy because we write daily Underdog NBA articles, and then during baseball season, Underdog MLB articles. So we definitely give it our thumbs up to Underdog Fantasy. Here's what you got to do. Sign up today with promo code SGPN. Actually, make that MMA SGPN, okay? The other shows are getting more signups than we are, so let's go MMA SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with my promo code MMA SGPN, my name Gumby's, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And if that's not enough, SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and 5 winners will receive Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card so you can get cool clothes like Gumby and I wear. Sign up today, use promo code SGPN, MMA SGPN. I did it again, MMA SGPN. No wonder we won't get any signups, Gumby. And then go to sportsgummypockets.com/dog, D-O-G. Don't spell it fancy, just D-O-G. To enter the contest for your chance to win. All right. Here is one of our makeshift fights, just got put together. It is bantamweights, 3 5-minute rounds. Vinicius Oliveira, you may know him as another name, but he's from Brazil, versus Bernardo Sopai. Is it Sopai?
I think it's Sopai.
Yes. He is from Sweden. We were just talking about Swedish fighters. Sopai is the Lion King, 11-2, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is a short notice debut, very short notice. We just found out about this fight on Monday night, I think. Is that right? Yeah. Sound right to you? Yeah, yeah. Monday night. He's won 3 straight and 5 of 6. All 3 of his past 3 wins have come via finish. He's not lost since March of 2021. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. He used to fight down at flyweight, 5 years younger than Oliveira, plus 104. Oliveira, of course, is our favorite lock dog. LOKDOG. He is the lock dog this week. I hope someone comes and asks in the Discord because we have an answer. He's 19-3, 15 knockouts, 2 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, so he's been finishing all of his losses. This is his debut. 1-0 in contender series. He's won 2 straight and 8 of 9. Both of his past 2 wins have come via finish. He's regional champ, 3 inches taller than Sopai, minus 115. I will gladly take minus 115 on a guy fighting a guy on their debut on super short notice, especially a guy like Lock Dog, who's got the immense power that he does. So give me Oliveira. Tell the people some stuff about Sopai before maybe you make your pick.
I'm going to back you. I'm going to go Oliveira here too, but I am also going to caution people who are like, back the truck up to a guy who's negative 115 against the guy who's on a short notice debut. Cause the thing about Sopai is he is legit. Like, this guy has belonged in the UFC for a minute. I think the best part of him is that his wrestling is really solid, which when you're fighting a guy like Lock Dog and you don't want to slug it out with him on the feet, cause we saw, you know, the highlight he put up on Contender Series is like, that's what you want to do. You want to wrestle him. You want to force him into a gritty fight and stuff like that. The reason why I'm still picking Oliveira after all of that is because in Sopai's fight, sometimes when somebody is aggressive, somebody does refuse to get off the front foot, does continue to move forward, Sopai seems a little bit reluctant to get into an exchange where he's the guy moving backwards. And he can't just dictate the pace or dictate the range and stuff like that. And Oliveira doesn't let you dictate the range. So I think he's going to have that here moving forward. I will also caution you against just picking Oliveira blindly, being like, well, Sopai is taking this on wild short notice. He had a fight booked for Saturday already. He was supposed to fight in a title fight in Sweden. Now, I guess, you know, obviously traveling halfway across the world and stuff like that is a problem, but he's also not necessarily dropping massive amounts of weight because he was already set to make the bantamweight limit on Friday or on Saturday rather. So Oliveira is my pick here. I think he moves forward. I think he picks Sopai apart. I think he makes this a brawl, and I think Sopai obliges him enough to make it a brawl. I also just think Sopai doesn't get a chance to shoot a takedown because he's moving backwards too much here. So, yeah, give me Lock Dog. But I will say, you know, I like him here. I like the number, but I'd say, like, don't go crazy here. Sopai has plenty of chops for a guy taking this on significantly short notice.
He obviously does, or the line wouldn't be where it's at. So definitely don't go crazy, Gumby says. Don't go losing your head over our boy Lock Dog. Actually, steam the other line, and then Lock Dog can be an actual Lock Dog here, please. All right, we're going to middleweights now. 3 5-minute rounds. Christian and Leroy Duncan versus Claudio Ribeiro. So we got a Brit versus a Brazilian fighter. We'll talk about the Brazilian first. Ribeiro, he's 11-4 with 11 knockouts. So we know how he likes to get things done. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He owes his rounds. Unless we pick him to win via knockout, then he does not. 1-2 in the UFC, loss, win, loss over his last 3. During his UFC career, he got knocked out in his last fight. 1-0 in contender series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight. Has outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 1.31 strikes per minute, which is good when you have power like he does. Better grappling stats than Duncan, plus 250. Duncan, CLD is his nickname. That's a reason to pick against him right there. His initials are his nickname. Anyhow,
Do you really hate that? Is that really a thing that you're against here?
Yeah, I'm not big on the initials.
Okay, nicknames. What about when it's 4 letters like Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos?
Is that his nickname?
Easy DS. Yeah.
No, I like that one because you can say easy sounds like easy, like E-A-S-Y. So I obliged. But DRV, not a good nick, nickname. Hopeless, not your nickname. JJF, not a good nickname. JJ, I am called though by my father, but you can't change what your father calls you, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Especially if it's old Bear Whisperer, you whatever he calls you, you listen. Especially if you're a bear. If you're a bear, you have to listen. There's no choice. All right, CLD. I'm not picking against him because of his nickname. Who knows if I'm picking against him? You got to wait and see. He's 9-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight, so he owes us some finishes. 2-1 in the UFC, got a TKO win in his last fight. He was a Cage Warriors champion before this. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach on Ribeiro, 3 years younger, so all that bio stuff is in his favor. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes than Ribeiro, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.38 strikes per minute, minus 300. All right, Gumby.
I think you might have tipped your hand here, but
did.
If you did,
someone talked me into it.
I'm agreeing with you. I like Ribeiro here. And I know some people kind of got behind Christian Leroy Duncan after his last fight, but correct me if I'm wrong. Was his last fight Dennis Toilulin?
Let me check. I remember you haven't been sold on him. I remember that you haven't been a big fan of his since he's hit the UFC.
Were you a fan of him in
Cage Warriors?
No, even when he was on Cage Warriors, I want to say I picked against him in his last fight on Cage Warriors before the UFC brought him over. And it's not that I think he's bad necessarily. I just am not sold on, he looks hittable. And when you start to get up into those weight classes, 85, 205, you know, obviously a heavyweight, but like 85 is kind of the beginning of heavyweight, if you want to be honest with it. Like everybody from those weight classes up,
that's when they start to suck. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what, thank you for putting
it, what you're saying.
Yeah. Thank you for putting it in terms that are far more harsh and direct than I was saying. But yes, that's when people start to suck. And he's just like, he's kind of too hittable, right? And that's my biggest issue here against a guy like Claudio Ribeiro, because Ribeiro only needs one. That dude hits so freaking hard, and he puts so much into every one of his punches. And I just think Christian Leroy Duncan is going to present him with one of those options. And it, really, if you look at the books agree with me on this one. If you look at Ribeiro's, first of all, his you just said his money line is what, plus 250? You look at his knockout prop, it's only like plus 360. So you got a guy who's an underdog, and you're only getting like an extra 100, 110 on him to get him by his specific finish, which means he's got that one path to finish, right? Like it's that one path to victory, and it doesn't get steamed up by going to that. So, I'm going to say Claudio Ribeiro here. If you want to get crazy and go knockout prop to get that extra bit, it's probably worth it because he ain't winning any other way.
Speaking of crazy, yeah, I'm taking him as well. And he is a bit crazy. He's fun.
Yeah, and I would say, I'm going to say this right here in terms of crazy. If Jeff's in on somebody at plus 200 or better, you best believe that there's some value there.
Well, I listened to this other podcast called Top Turtle, and that guy picked Ribeiro, and this is one of the fights I was kind of on the fence, and I was going to go Duncan, just, you know, stick with the massive favorite. But, you know, that smart guy in Top Turtle took Ribeiro, and, you know, Ribeiro's kind of fun, and he's, you know, definitely there's a path to victory here. So, mm-hmm. And the fight card, this chalky, you know, we got to roll the dice once in a while, right?
Got to find some spots.
Got to find a spot, and this could be the spot, because Ribeiro definitely can crack. All right, another good spot is Hall of Fame bets. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are on it and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right. Did you tell your wife that she got mentioned and an episode got named after her?
I didn't. I should. I think the fact that it was urine based probably was less honorable than she was hoping for.
Well, you don't have to tell her that. I guess she'll probably ask why. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, why were you talking about me? It's
exactly. Just, you know,
you had some good urine takes.
You're piss fetish. That's all we're talking about. Are we going Zahabi Basharat next? I believe.
That's what it says
on Topology. This should be the main event, but no. You know, the line for this fight is pretty crazy as well. But let's jump into her. We got the Canadian Ayman Zahabi. you'll hear him. He was on Gumby's podcast again. Typical Canadian, right?
Yeah, he's a great dude.
He is a great dude. He's fighting Javid Bashrat, another podcast favorite from Afghanistan. But I think they grew up in Britain. Is that right, sound right to you?
I know they train there for a little bit, but now they train out in California with Gilbert Melendez.
Okay. Yeah, I think they immigrated to Britain when they were youth.
Oh yeah, they were London shoot fighters, right?
Like, right, there you go.
Yeah, that was the gym they were at. That's right.
I know some things. I remember some things sometimes. All right, let's tell you about Zahabi first. Maybe the nicest man in the business. He's 10-2, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, including a knockout in his last fight. 2012 pro MMA debut. I wish he would have fought more. It's what, 12 years? He's fought 12 times. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.36 strikes per minute, plus 575. That number is pretty high for a guy coming off a knockout win. The Snow Leopard, Javid Bashrat, the better of the Bashrat brothers. 14-0 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been 3-0 with 1 no contest in the UFC. No contest was his last fight. I believe it was a eye poke. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
All right. 1-0 on Contender Series, regional champion. Used to fight down at featherweight. Inch height, inch reach, 8 years younger than Zahabi. Zahabi is not as young as you may think. He may be young in his career or a number of fights, but he's not very young, really. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats than Zahabi. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 3.15 strikes per minute, minus 699. There's a funny number for you. I'll take Bashrat. Don't like the line. I don't like picking against the hobby either because he is a nice guy, but Bashrat's just too well-rounded and really has not shown any weaknesses at this point. So I may regret it because, Zahabi does have that power in him, but, Bashrat's just on a roll, more active and, like I said, too well-rounded and young at this point. So he's a pick.
I don't love the line. What did you say his number was?
699.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love that line on Bashrat either. But I will say this: if you're trying to get tempted on Zahabi, you got to think about what his paths to victory are here. And so far, the thing he's really become and has been really impressive about him, and he even said it in his interview with me, is like, hey, maybe I'm the next bantamweight with hands. Maybe I'm the next bantamweight who sleeps people. And he kind of has been that and been so in a very impressive fashion. But the thing about Javid Bashrat, and actually even Fareed Bashrat for that matter, who I constantly talk about as being the lesser Bashrat brother, but both of both Bashrat brothers do an exceptional job of making themselves safe. Part of the reason why, Javid is kind of maybe been hated on and maybe wound up with a few more decisions than people might like is because he's not risky. He's the opposite of risky. If he knows he's got a massive ground advantage, he takes you down. If he thinks he can pick you apart from range, he picks you apart from range. If he thinks you suck in the clinch, he puts you in the clinch. And like, he just fights from the smartest place all the time. And he knows how to force you to that place too, which I think is his advantage in this fight. It's not that I don't think Ayman Zahabi can stand and trade with him. It's not that I don't think Ayman Zahabi's jiu-jitsu is good and can go back and forth with him. I just think wherever he wants to be, Javid Bashrat will be. Javid Bashrat can put him in a place that Ayman Zahabi doesn't want to be in. And for that reason, yeah, I think I'm going to side with Bashrat here.
Yeah. If he doesn't like how it's going on the feed, he'll go on the ground or vice versa. So, he's, like I said, hasn't shown any holes yet, but this is a good test for him, in his career. I just wish Zahabi could have, fought someone different, but anyhow. All right. We're moving on up in weight and on the fight card.
And in the odds.
Yep. Lightweight. This is one that they came in down, a little bit, but it's still minus 800. Ludovic Klein, from Slovakia, I believe. Yes. Slovak Republic, actually, versus AJ Cunningham from the United States of America. 3 5-minute rounds. I'll tell you about the savage first. AJ Cunningham, 11-3, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once. Short notice debut. The alarm bells should be ringing in your brains right now. 4-1 over his last 5, including winning via TKO in his last fight. The one loss came on the Contender Series. I don't even remember him from that, so I guess he's pretty memorable. Who'd you lose to, Gumby?
Was it Stephen Wynn?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I remember seeing his name. So yeah, we'll go with that. Used to fight at featherweight, regional champion, 3 inches taller than Klein, twice more active. That's based off of one fight. active landing strikes. He got outstruck in that fight by 3.75 strikes per minute. That will get you a loss almost every time. Plus 575. Mr. Highlight, Ludovic Klein, 24-1, 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 4-2-1 in the UFC, 3-0-1 over his last 4. He's really turned things around after losing his first two. That includes winning his last fight. He's fight at featherweight as well. Missed weight at featherweight before, so now he's lightweight. 2014 Pro MMA debut, an inch of reach over Cunningham. Better grappling stats based off of Cunningham's one fight. And Klein's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.04 strikes per minute. So that's pretty much a push there. Minus 800. It was minus 875 on Monday. So if we're picking Klein, it's at least moved this. It's coming. I take it we're both picking Klein, right?
Yeah, is it my turn? Yeah, I'm going a little bit Klein. And for people who are like, you know, AJ Cunningham's a decent grappler, I do think that's true. You know, if you're looking for paths to victory for him, I guess he's kind of got that there. But the thing about Ludovic Klein is he's actually shown to be a pretty good wrestler, both offensively and defensively as of late. And if you watch that AJ Cunningham fight with, it was Stephen Wynn, I put the intern on it. I'm now remembering the thing about that fight that bothered me so much about AJ Cunningham moving forward is that Stephen Wynn threw this like hook that came up over AJ Cunningham's guard shoulder and just kept tagging him in the side of the head over and over and over and over and over again. And if you keep getting tagged by Stephen Wynn, and I like Stephen Wynn, glad he's made it to the UFC after 3 shots on Contender Series. If you keep getting tagged by Stephen Wynn on the feet and Stephen Wynn's crafty enough to put it on you, Ludovic Klein is definitely crafty enough to put it on you. This guy's much faster. He's got a little bit more nuance, maybe a little bit less pressure than somebody like Wynn. But like, you know, Klein is just kind of, you know, a more devastating striker in those regards. And Cunningham, this is a true short notice fight. This isn't like the Sopai one where he was already in camp and cutting weight for something already. This is just like, hey, this is my opportunity. I got to go get it. And it's not a great opportunity. I mean, no. You know, I guess getting to the UFC is always a good opportunity, but not a great spot here for Cunningham. So I like Klein as well.
Basically, he's guaranteeing himself 2 fights in the UFC. But yeah, first one probably won't go his way. Yeah, Klein's got to be the pick. He's just so well-rounded and dangerous everywhere. That type of guy he's I'm glad they kept him around because he's really starting to live up to not just his nickname, but his potential.
It's sort of like a Roman Kopylov comeback, right? It's like he looked like hell in his first fight and first couple fights, and now he's really rounded out to be a hell of a lightweight.
Yep. So Klein is our pick. Sorry, Mr. Cunningham. All right, main event of the prelims. Oh boy, this should be the main event of the main card, as Gumby said. It's a middleweight fight, and this is as middleweight as it gets in 2024. Eric Anders versus Jamie Pickett. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We have to pick one of these people to win, Gumby. All right. The Night Wolf, Jamie Pickett, 13-10 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times. 2-6 in the UFC. He's lost 4 straight fights. Why is he still in the UFC, Gumby?
I mean, I don't know. Did you see Na Liang just got another fight?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised that she was around too still. Four straight losses. Like, no one lasts 4 straight losses. Why is he still around? What the heck's going on? It doesn't make sense, really, sometimes.
I mean, one guy does. Daniel Lacerda survives everything, so, yeah.
He hasn't been cut yet. as of this recording, he's still a UFC fighter. All right, so Klein has not won since January 2022. What? That can't be right. Has he fought that many times in the past 2 years? Maybe. 1-2 in the Contender Series, so, like, they definitely have something with this guy, eh? They gave him 3 shots at Contender Series too.
Wow. Yeah, usually I could point to it being like a manager they really love. Yeah. Sometimes it's that. But I would say he's represented by a manager who has like, they have like 3 or 4 people in the UFC, but not like a billion. You know, like they got a couple.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure people have jokes in the Discord as to why he's still in the UFC, but regional champion, used to fight at light heavyweight, 2011 pro MMA debut. Lucky the episode's almost over because words are getting jumbled. An inch of height, 5 inches of reach over Anders, a year younger. He's been outstruck in the UFC and the Contender Series by 1.08 strikes per minute, plus 370. So yeah, so his combined Contender Series and UFC record, 3-8. All right, yeah, boy, Eric Anders. They kept him around for the nickname. He's 15-8 with 1 no contest. 9 knockouts, 1 submission. Been knocked out once, submitted once. So very durable man. 7-8 with 1 no contest in the UFC. 1-3 over his last 4, including losing his last fight. This is another guy you'd be like, why is he still in the UFC? Used to fight at light heavyweight as well. Regional champ, 1-0 in Bellator. More active landing strikes than Pickett. Better grappling stats than Pickett. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.83 strikes per minute. Minus 426. Yeah, I'll go with Anders because he's the least bad of the two at this point in their careers. But yeah, this isn't a good fight.
So remember I told you at the beginning of the show where I was like, there's two fights where I'm like, I don't feel confident enough to bet the guy is a massive favorite, but I almost can't get in on the dog. And so I hadn't made a pick before this show started, but I think I'm just going to take Jamie Pickett here.
He's not the Night Wolf.
He's not good.
No,
but also Eric Anders isn't good.
Not at this point. No.
And at plus 370, does he have a 4-1 chance at winning this fight? I think so, right? Like if you ran this fight four times, would Jamie Pickett win it once? I kind of think so. And so like the return on investment there makes sense. Again, I don't advocate putting any of real stock into what happens in this fight because it's gonna be truly awful. But I will say this, Jamie Pickett is a big body. If nothing else, he's a big body. And so if we're looking for a path to victory against Eric Anders has not aged well. We've seen as his fights have gone on and on, right? Like that loss, it was a loss to Marc-Andre Barrio, right? That I'm thinking of. Marc-Andre Barrio, great cardio, knows how to wear on you. That's kind of always what he's done well. And that's what he did to Eric Anders. I could see Jamie Pickett following something resembling that game plan. Not as well as Marc-Andre Barrio. He's no Marc-Andre Barrio.
He's no Marc-Andre Barrio.
But given the fact that I think like he's got a big frame, he at least did good work against Ugly Man Joe up against the cage, which is obviously a win that didn't age particularly well. But he knows how to throw his weight around. And I think if he did that to Eric Anders early, wore him out, I think you could see some late success for Jamie Pickett. And with that, I think he's worth plus 370. So this is one of the ones I wasn't quite sure about whether or not I was pulling the trigger. And here I am. Give me Jamie Pickett.
Oh, man. Gumby. Gumby's going to need a shower off after this episode.
I feel just gross.
All right. Let's recap so Gumby can jump in a cool shower here. I got Anders. He has Pickett. We both have Klein. Both have Basharat. We both have Hibiero. We both have Oliveira. We both have Al Sawadi. I think he just wanted to be different than me. One fight because he's a rebel that way, and boy he picked a doozy too.
Feel good.
All right. Hopefully you all feel good about this episode though. It was a good episode regardless. Hey, we got to work. We made lemonade out of lemons or something like that. We make lots of fun stuff in the Discord, not just lemonade. We're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Get in there, chat with us and the boys. Only boys. Girls are allowed, but as of now, only boys. Where else can you catch us? Obviously, YouTube. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to subscribe and like our stuff and comment on our stuff on YouTube. Obviously, just search MMAGamblingPodcast.com, not .com, MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube, or search How to Make Cocaine, or search canned tuna recipes, and or search grandma videos, and all that should bring you to us. Where else? Twitter. You probably don't want to search any of that stuff on Twitter, but we're at SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there. And on Instagram, you can check out my Substack. No pick'em for this week. I forgot there's like five UFC events this month, so I'm only running pick'em for the four, but I have all my articles and everything else up at moneymma.substack.com. We told you all about Top Turtle MMA podcast. Get in there. Gumby's got three guests this week. Recap who you got, Gumby.
I got Ayman Zahabi, who's getting ready to fight Basharat. We got Abdul Karim Al-Sawadi. And then to go into the world of 1FC, we got Arjun Bhullar.
There you go. Canadian. You're interviewing. All right. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. That's all you need to know. We'll be back tomorrow. The Tajik Tank, Jeff Fox will be there. Mr. Highlight Gumby Vreeland will be riding a shotgun, and we will break down the main card. Bye.